This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Right now.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, cream works, rental works, yeah! The big dog's got it!
ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Tom Luganville.
Lugs, what's happening, man? Everything good?
Everything's good, boys. How are we doing this morning?
Doing wonderful, thank you. If you're new to the Luganville segment, he's been with us for years. During football season, there's always that time where I have to ask the awkward, hey, who you guys got this week question. We've already awkwardly asked that to Luganville. We know he's got Ohio State and Oregon State week one. A, it will be a blowout, and B, the storyline will be anything but football, so this will be a fun game for Luganville. Let me ask you this. If it is an interim coach, if maybe Meyer is fired and or suspended, or I guess it would be fired or suspended. He can be fired and suspended. But if he's fired or
kept on administrative leave.
Or kept on administrative, whatever the case is, any of those scenarios, can an interim coach screw things up badly enough to lose that game?
No, not in my opinion. In fact, I not only do not think an interim coach could screw that thing up to lose that game, I believe that the interim coach with the leadership of the rest of the staff could steer the ship throughout the rest of the season if you do a couple of things. I think it is so important, whether it's now at training camp, whether you enter into game week, whether it's game day, the day before the game, it's imperative that you keep the schedule, the mode of operation exactly the same. Don't deviate from what these kids know. They want structure. They want discipline. They want to know where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, what they're supposed to do. All of the Urban Meyer situation notwithstanding, I think you can make an argument that the process by which Urban Meyer has built this football team and built their day-to-day operation has been a strong one during his tenure. So if you're Ryan Day, if you're Greg Schiano, if you're Kevin Wilson, two former head coaches, You want to try to insulate your football team from all of the outside clutter by not coming up with things that the players could question. You change a meeting time. You change a practice schedule, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. Now the players start questioning the leadership. You don't want that if you're Ryan Day. I think the opener is going to be something that will be a motivational tool for Ohio State. I think their kids are probably so sick and tired of all of this that they just want to go out and play and take it out on somebody. And unfortunately, that somebody's Oregon State.
Sticking in the Big Ten, I think it would be unanimous if I asked, you know, best quarterback, people would go Trace McSorley. But if I asked you second best quarterback in the Big Ten.
Wow, that is a really, really, really good question. I would probably right now, until I see a full sampling of Dwayne Haskins, I'm going to go with a tie. I'm going to go with Clayton Thorson at Northwestern or Brian Lewerke at Michigan State. I think both of those guys, I think Clayton Thorson is going to be a highly touted NFL guy come next spring.
And they're kind of similar guys, aren't they, Luganville?
Very similar. Now Brian Lewerke doesn't have the natural height and stature that Clayton Thorson has. Clayton Thorson is a big kid. But Brian Lewerke has maybe a little bit better athleticism, and he's just scratched the surface of what he's going to be. He's a more dynamic athlete than what Michigan State's been accustomed to playing with. So, I would probably go with those two guys in some form of a 1A and 1B.
By the way, if you haven't, and I'm sure most of our listeners have already made their Thursday night plans when the season opens here in a couple of weeks, but Clayton Thorson and Northwestern are involved in really the only good Thursday night game with Purdue. That Northwestern-Purdue game, as far as Thursday night games go, that's an interesting football game.
It is an interesting football game, and I think we kind of got a taste of Purdue's, I don't want to call it resurgence just yet, but I think Purdue's performance last year has the rest of the Big Ten viewing them differently. Jeff Brohm's done a really good job. He did a great job at Western Kentucky. They've gotten better, faster than people probably thought they would. He's a really good offensive coach. And they're a tough gritty team. You talk to other coaches in the Big Ten about Purdue's defense. It's very similar to what they feel about Indiana. That, you know, those guys are really tough lunch pail type guys. You're going to come out of that matchup probably battered and bruised a little bit.
ESPN's Tom Lugenbill joins us each week courtesy of Crane Works, the group to call for crane and equipment rental. They're a fixture on this show with Feinbaum, Lugenbill, John Parker Wilson, and others to come. And that big dog is a fixture on our city skyline, the good people at Crane Works. I mentioned this on the show the other day. You've got a way better feel for this than me, though, so I'll ask you this. We were talking about Mississippi State, one of the sexy teams, underdog teams, I guess, dark horse teams of the Southeastern Conference. And I said, in my opinion, the only two teams you would say I guarantee have a better roster top to bottom than State that they play are Auburn and Alabama. Is that an accurate statement, do you think?
Oh, completely accurate statement. And what makes Mississippi State kind of the sexy hot pick is upsetting the apple cart is that they've got a returning core nucleus of players that are veteran guys. They've got not one quarterback, but two quarterbacks they can rely upon. They've got a salty defensive front seven. So it's easy to get excited about them. I always am going to reserve judgment on Mississippi State, though, until they beat Alabama, until they beat Auburn, until they put themselves in a position where you're in the last 2 weeks of the season and they're still in the hunt to go to Atlanta, because they're going to be better top to bottom athletically than the rest of the teams in the West, but that won't matter when it comes to competing for the division crown if you can't beat the two other teams. And so, and you've heard me say this before, I don't think it's as true with Auburn as it is with Alabama, but if you're going to beat Alabama, they're probably going to have to do something to help you. You know, they're going to have to do something uncharacteristic of themselves, whether it's, you know, a 3 or 4 turnover game, you know, you give up a touchdown on a kick return, you know, stuff that they don't do. If you're not as talented as they are, that's your only chance of beating them.
Lugenbill, we're going to preview Oklahoma later in the show as part of our 40 and 40. And Baker Mayfield, 34-6 in 3 years as a starting quarterback, a Heisman Trophy, a couple of college football playoff appearances. Impossible to really replace that. But Lincoln Riley is a great offensive mind coming back in year two. You've got a guy in Kyler Murray. What's your expectation for the athlete, Kyler Murray?
Well, one thing that Kyler Murray will do for this offense is he is going to make it more difficult on Big 12 defenses, because now you're going to have to account for him as a runner in a way that you didn't necessarily have to do for Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker Mayfield's a good athlete. He can create. He can, extend plays. But he wasn't a dynamic, open-field runner that you're going to use as part of the designated running game. It's not, you know, he was more of a, if something broke down, get out of the pocket and find a way to make things happen. This guy has to be accounted for at all times. And so, in many ways, maybe some of their statistical production goes down in the passing game, but it's compensated on the run game part, which in many ways can make it more difficult. When you look at Oklahoma as a team, okay, they're not a great defensive football team. They don't have great defensive personnel. Nobody in the Big 12 right now does. But I look at Oklahoma, and I look at their schedule. You get Texas at home. You get UCLA at home. Right? You get Kansas State at home, Oklahoma State at home. Their two road games of TCU and West Virginia are probably your biggest concerns. And so if you were to say, does Oklahoma have as good, if not better, players than the rest of the conference, which I believe they do? Well, if this was a team that went 12-2 a year ago, if you look at their schedule, why would they not be 10-2, 9-3 again this year?
You mentioned the other side of the ball, and early on with Bob Stoops, there were some dominant Oklahoma defenses,
yeah.
And it just seems like Mike Stoops can't get that personnel right over the last couple of years. Why do you think that is?
And it's not just Mike Stoops in Oklahoma, it's the entire Big 12, and the answer is they're not available. You know, at the time Bob Stoops had some of those dominant defensive forces, the SEC didn't quite have the perception or the clout or the power it had nationally that it does now. There was more opportunity for other conferences or teams from other conferences to lure premier players at certain positions into their place. Now, when you look, and I'll tell you guys, I get on that sideline every Saturday. I've done games in every conference. I've done Oklahoma State. I've done Oklahoma. I've done TCU several times. You know, some of the flagship teams in that conference. And when you watch them in pregame warm-up and you look at them, they don't look like Clemson. They don't look like Alabama. They don't look like Georgia. They don't look like Ohio State on the defensive side of the ball. And that's top to bottom. So this isn't exclusive to Oklahoma. For whatever reason, the state of Texas, while there are going to be some great players in the defensive front come out every now and then, they don't all stay within the defense, the footprint of the Big 12. Marvin Wilson from 2 years ago out of Texas, he goes to Florida State. You know, Ed Oliver doesn't go to the Big 12. He goes to Houston. So a lot of it is availability, and it makes it very, very difficult. Now, can you get some guys here and there? Absolutely. And you should be able to. And if anybody should be doing it, it should be Texas. But even they've struggled along the defensive front. So I think, to be honest with you, it's a little bit more of a wide-reaching epidemic that has not only infected the Big 12, it's infected the Pac-12 as well.
ESPN's Tom Luginbill. Before you go, Lugs, we wake up today to the news that Lowell Narcisse has made it official that he is leaving LSU. You guys liked him enough. I think he was like 125th, if I read this right, in your ESPN 300 a couple years back. If he decides to transfer to a Power 5, is there a place where he fits better than he apparently did at LSU?
Well, I think he needs to go to a place where they're going to utilize the quarterback's athleticism. They're going to utilize the quarterback's ability to run and create, get out of the pocket in the mold of a Gus Malzahn, Chad Morris, Dabo Sweeney type scheme, maybe a Kevin Sumlin out at Arizona. He is a kid, and I really feel for this kid. This is a kid who was a dominant player as a freshman and sophomore in high school. He tears his ACL on one leg as a junior, tears his ACL on the other leg as a senior, and he misses his final 2 years of eligibility prior to entering into college, and I just think he fell so far behind. But if he could find a place where they're going to really accentuate his strengths, which are, you know, footwork, feet, speed, he's a big, strong athlete, then I think he can succeed. He just has to find a place where the quarterback is utilized with the athleticism under center.
All right, ESPN's Tom Luginbill. We'll see you next Monday, or excuse me, next Wednesday, Lugs. We appreciate the time.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Where college football never ends.
The check is good. Auburn wins 22-19. The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.